recommend that if you want to punish that cat.
I'm not touching her with a 10-foot pole.
They like it. They secretly like it, I'm telling you.
Okay, now she's kind of wandering away. Good.
That'll do it.
Creepy. Anywho, you know, Rob, it's that time of year where I ask you about your NFL team of choice, the Atlanta Falcons. They're currently playing on Sunday Night Football against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, are they really my team of choice?
they're your hometown team, Rob. How do you think they're going to do this year?
All right, so I hate the Falcons. It's an abusive relationship with the Falcons, to be totally frank. I think they're bad. I think most parts of their team are bad. You know, if they make the playoffs, it'll be a miracle. That's my projection.
So you're saying you're not optimistic?
Correct.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
I mean, granted, the rest of the NFC South kind of stinks. But
yeah.
Even still.
Yes, you are a noted Falcons pessimist. I've asked you about them before on this program, and you've never really given me much optimism to work
with. I hate the Falcons. Yeah. Granted, I am here currently wearing a Michael Vick jersey, but, you know, we can move swiftly along.
Yeah, you want to just move past that? Okay.
Yeah, move past the Michael Vick era.
Yeah, let's
they hurt me so good.
Let's kind of scoot on by Michael Vick and the Falcons, and let's get right to the soccer.
Yeah, let's not that's much better at the moment.
Yeah, how about Arsenal this weekend?
It's been a bad sports weekend. in many, many ways.
Yeah.
Many ways.
2-2 against Watford. David Luiz giving away another penalty. Aubameyang goals.
Please, not very good. It's almost like anyone who watched La Liga knew Unai Emery was kind of shit.
Watford got 30-something shots on goal.
Unai Emery kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Marcelino, he's available.
Mm. Yeah.
Marcelino, hey baby.
Maybe that's the move. That's the way.
It is. It surely is. I mean, I'm not positive Marcelino's a better coach than Unai Emery, but I'm pretty sure.
I'll tell you what, I think this defense would be a little bit better if he were there.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right. Yeah, certainly would be better. I mean, I saw there's a link today with Kike Setien. It would be noticeably worse.
Oh, Kike at Arsenal? Setien. Wow. That would be really wild.
Go all in on no defense.
That would be crazy. That'd be cool,
but
though.
It would be so Arsenal.
That'd be cool. I gotta say. Yeah, I'm not sure Unai is long for that job. Especially if they can't finish fourth. There's really
I
no
should
way.
Hope not.
Yeah.
I should hope not. I mean, his contract expires at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So, if he doesn't get sacked before then.
Good times. Good times in Gunnerland. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we're positive.
Yeah, let's shift our focus now from England to Spain, where match day 4 of La Liga is complete. And we start on Friday at Mallorca. It finished 0-0 between the hosts and Athletic Club. The second half of this match was very entertaining. Both teams pretty much spent the majority of it shooting themselves in the foot. They both missed penalties inside the last 10 minutes. The latter was Aritz Aduriz in deep in stoppage time. Mallorca thought they had it won in like the 98th minute, 97th minute, from a free kick, but it was ruled offside and it finished goalless. Very good game though. Mallorca are gonna have to pick up as many points as they can at home at San Moix if they're gonna stay up.
Yeah, pretty it was better than a 0-0 suggests, but even it was pretty bad if both sides miss a penalty.
Yeah. Athletic it was interesting. I think Mallorca were the better side, but Athletic really, that's a missed opportunity for them.
Mallorca have looked good since they've come up. They should avoid relegation, but you never know what can happen.
On Saturday, Real Madrid 3-2 winners over Levante. Madrid got out to a 3-0 lead behind Karim Benzema and Casemiro, but Levante made it interesting late on. Really could have gotten out of this with a 3-3 draw, but in the end, just short. Eden Hazard made his debut for Los Blancos. Leganés 0, Villarreal 3. Ay vey. Leganés, no points through 4 weeks. They have been up in La Liga for, this is now their fourth consecutive season, and if this keeps up, it's going to be their last season. Again, no points through four as Villarreal put a hurting on him at home. Gerard Moreno as La Liga's leading scorer, Rob. He's got 5 goals in 4 weeks.
Yeah, it seems like the clock might have struck midnight for Leganés. I mean, they haven't been great since being in La Liga, but they've done enough to survive because the teams below them have been really crappy. But seems like it might be their year to go down.
Yeah, 1 goal in 4 games is not really
not good.
Not really the way to stay up. At Camp Nou in the late game Saturday, Barcelona beat Valencia 5-2. Ansu Fati, a goal and an assist inside the first 10 minutes.
How old is he, Jeremy?
I'm not sure, Rob. I haven't really seen it printed anywhere.
No coverage of that.
No, no one's really talked about this kid. It's really surprising.
Valencia, maybe you shouldn't have fired your manager one of the biggest games of the season.
Yeah, if any of our listeners have missed what's going on at Valencia, owner Peter Lim, who is based out of Singapore, he sacked Marcelino, their Copa del Rey winning coach and architect of back-to-back fourth-place sides. Sacked him really mere hours before kickoff in Barcelona. Replaced him with Albert Celades, who is the former coach of the Spain U21s. And Valencia, just they went to pieces in this match. Not so good. And don't worry, they only have the Champions League midweek to worry about.
This is the same owner that hired Gary Neville, so I'm not sure really what the expectations were there. I mean, Marcelino really covered up for a lot of the faults in that team, in that club in general, so they could be in for a struggle here.
Yeah, just when you think that Valencia are getting some stability, they go and do this.
They do a Valencia, indeed.
Yeah. On Sunday, Eibar 1, Espanyol 2. Eibar off to a slow start. Espanyol come back to win at Ipurua. 2 goals from Facundo Ferreira and Esteban Granero in the final 15 minutes, getting the win for the Catalans. Sevilla have started the season really well. 3 games away from home, 3 wins. All of them clean sheets. They beat Alaves by a 0-0. Former Eibar star Joan Jordan with a free kick late in the first half. Sevilla are now atop the table after Atletico's loss at La Real. Celta Vigo 0, Granada 2. Oh, Celta. Went down to 9 men inside the first half an hour. Yangel Herrera for Granada scored a brilliant outside-the-box goal in this game. Would highly recommend it if you haven't seen it yet. The last 2 games of match day 4 were both 1-1 draws. Real Valladolid and Osasuna, Real Betis and Getafe. A word on Valladolid. Pablo Hervias scored a free kick goal in that game. Possibly the best in the weekend. Top of the net, off the crossbar, and in. Those are like my favorite free kick goals.
If it hits the crossbar, the goal goes up in quality. I mean, it's just a fact.
I prefer those ones. Just a fact. With just a straight shot.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, the goal goes up way more. Way more if it goes in off the bar and off the post. Certainly.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff.
But yeah, no, that was a great goal. I mean, and he's been in Spain and kicking around in the leagues for a while now. Been bouncing around a few clubs, but he's been great for Valladolid.
And Hervias came off a pretty bad cruciate ligament injury, so good for him.
Yeah.
Getafe, by the way, last season's darlings, no wins in 4. Just the 3 draws and 3 goals scored in those 4 games. They have Europa League football coming up this week. It's still kind of crazy to think.
Oh, boy!
Yeah, they have Trabzonspor in Madrid on Thursday. That's going to be a must-watch.
I don't know what to think about Getafe. I mean, they kind of rode their luck last season, but man, them in Europa League is going to be interesting.
It is nuts that they are in Europe. It's great.
Crazy.
And I hope they do well. All right. The one game we did not mention that we're going to get to now at Anoeta. Or Rally Arena, whatever you want to call it. Real Sociedad 2, Atletico Madrid 0 in San Sebastian, Rob. Where do we start with this one?
Man. I mean, did anyone play well? I'm not sure.
Is that a rhetorical?
Yeah, I know. I mean, you know, even in like a defeat, you could take away like, oh, well, there are some decent individuals. But no, mm-mm. Not really. anyone to write home about in this. I mean, it was just a really awful performance. I mean, the thing that I mainly took away from it, that it really looked like a bunch of players that hadn't played together before. Yeah. Which you would expect, but we hadn't seen that in the first couple games of the season.
Yeah, I really don't think anyone played well. I guess Jimenez was okay, had a really good opportunity to make it 2-1 inside the final 15 minutes, but our dear old friend Moya made a flying save on him just after he saved from a good chance from Vitolo as well.
Those two chances right there were Atleti's best chance to get back into the match.
Yeah,
and once they missed those, you kind of felt it was over.
Would have made it very interesting, but was not to be. For the first 75 minutes of this game, Atletico generated just 0.33 expected goals, and that pretty much tells the story of the game. Atletico really played poorly, and La Real just ran all over them. And this is not surprising if you followed Atletico the past several years. They've lost 3 of the last 4 at Real Sociedad and 4 of the last 6 dating back to 2014.
I mean, Real Sociedad are a good team. They have some great attacking players. I mean, they're just a solid, solid team. I mean, you say, oh, Yosobal is obviously great. But, I mean, Martin Odegaard was spectacular in this match.
Damn, he was electric. He just pretty much destroyed Atletico's midfield. He was insane. Absolutely lived up to the hype.
I mean, Koke and Saul couldn't do anything to get near him.
No, I mean, Saul had a really poor game, I think. He got... He let Nacho Monreal escape on the second goal. That, of course, contributed to John Oblak exiting the game early, which we'll talk about. Yeah, I think just the midfield in general really was just La Real ran them over. And that's a bad look, too, because that's a Real Sociedad midfield without Asier Yarramendi in it. He broke his leg. He's going to be out for 2 months. And to still get kind of rolled over convincingly, both fullbacks had a really bad time. Odegaard obviously wasn't such a good look for anybody on the pitch. Mikel Oyarzabal as well did the business.
Yeah, he certainly did. I mean, both, like you said, Lodi and Trippier had a pretty awful match. I mean, they were okay going forward, but defensively they were all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, but we sort of expected that with those two guys. I mean, and for once, Savage this season and Jimenez weren't just totally infallible, because for the most part this season they've been great, but we've seen sort of the negatives of having those two really attacking fullbacks.
Yeah, and Savage was kind of caught in, you know, wrong place, wrong time for the first goal.
Yeah.
Odegaard had just kind of whirled around half of Atleti's team, found his way into the box, and Savage was just kind of caught in no man's land. It deflected off his shin, really, and in past Oblak. That's a tough one. I don't really blame Savage for that one. I blame basically everyone else for giving up that counterattack.
Well, and I mean, Mikel Moreno had a great match.
Moreno was great, yeah.
He's been really good. I mean, he was great with Newcastle, and basically only for homesickness did he come to Real Sociedad, and he's been spectacular. He's a good player.
But you mentioned the fullbacks. Trippier and Lodi just really struggled. Trippier in particular. And Lodi gave away the foul that led to La Real's second goal. It was a really kind of a soft foul.
It was super soft. I'm totally unconvinced it was even a foul.
Not so good.
No, it wasn't. I mean, it was a poor position to give it away. But, it was basically just a defender shoulder charge. And I'm not even really sure that he muscled him off the ball that heavily.
And those goals had been coming. First 20 minutes were kind of dull, but La Real steadily found their way into the game. By halftime, I think they were on top, and then starting the second half, they just flew out the traps, absolutely ran riot. Easily could have added a third goal. I think Atletico just really were not about it. What did you make of the starting 11? Very attacking in nature.
It was attacking in nature, but I think it was kind of disjointed in that we've sort of seen that the Saul Koke central midfield isn't the best. And then you add into that Vitolo, Lemar, and João Félix, all of which are kind of wingery attacking midfielders, and none of them really got into a groove in that first half. So it kind of made for not really any connection going forward. And not to mention the fact that the only attacking substitute on the bench was Correa, so there wasn't really much choice to switch it up.
Yeah, and I had 2 points on that. That's exactly why I don't think Vitolo should start. starting him removes a very serious weapon from the bench. And it leaves Angel Correa, who, as we know, is extremely volatile and inconsistent, it leaves him as really your only option to change a game. Vitolo in the starting 11 is just, you remove a very serious attacking threat from your bench. He deserved a start, I think, based on his form, but in general, he's really much better as a super sub. I didn't really get... What was probably the most concerning thing to me about this match is that I didn't really get what the tactics were. That's a really strange thing to say in a Simeone team, where it's usually very clear the identity, the style, how everyone's lining up. It seemed like some guys didn't know exactly where they were going to be. It was Vitolo who started up top, then he kind of dropped back. Thomas Lemar was all over the place. He was pulled at halftime, once again, very ineffective. Just didn't really know what was going on. It seemed like Simeone tried to shoehorn a lot of attackers in there, and he only started one natural forward, and that's Diego Costa. And Costa wasn't good. This was the Diego Costa we saw last year, not in the preseason. He just didn't get any service.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to blame him when he doesn't get much service, but, I mean, I totally agree. I mean, I think the Vitolo, João Félix, and Lemar thing just totally didn't work. It seemed like nobody knew their role.
Yeah.
And then add into that that Koke and Saul don't really work that well together.
They don't.
As a pairing. I mean, we've known this for years now. I mean, what was it, 2-3 years ago that we first started seeing that as a pairing? It's like, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's... too, I guess, loose, I guess.
Yeah.
In theory, Koke and Saul make a very nice central midfield pairing, but you need a little more solidity back there. Saul likes to go forward more than he likes to track back. You prefer to have someone with a little more sturdiness, I suppose, for lack of a better word. That's where.
I'm okay with those two if they're playing in a midfield three. If you have a guy sitting in behind him, and they had two options for that. I mean, they could have played Llorente or they could have played Herrera in that role.
Yeah, in a midfield four, and I want to talk about Herrera in a minute. In a midfield four, those two I don't think should be playing in the center of the park. This is where you really miss Thomas Partey. This is where you really miss and inform Marcos Llorente. This is where you miss Hector Herrera, who hasn't played yet this season. 4 games. He has played nil minutes. It's very weird what's going on there. Have to think he's got to help this team in some manner, but Simeone hasn't turned to him yet.
I mean, I think part of it in this match, you would have thought he would have come on had Oblak not been injured. But even still, Marcos Llorente has not been very good in his cameo appearances thus far.
He has not impressed. There's no sense that he's gotten into a rhythm. You know, we kind of cautioned our listeners about this over the summer that, listen, Marcos is a really talented player, but he's barely played in 2 years. He's been injured. He's been out of favor. He hasn't been called up to the national team. He hasn't really played much in 2 years. So be patient with him. And we got to stay patient with him. There is a really good, talented player under there, but so far we have not seen it.
Yeah, I mean, and I know that was sort of seen as the direct Roger replacement. I mean, he took his number and all that, but Roger played basically every single match for Villarreal the season before he joined Atleti. That was certainly not the situation for Llorente when he joined.
Yeah, it's the continuity. Marcos had none of that at Madrid.
Yeah.
The last time he had it was at Alaves in 2017, and he was marvelous at Alaves that season. Arguably that team's best player.
And he's low on confidence and low on game time, so it's tough for him. I mean, he hasn't been impressive, but it kind of makes you wonder why Herrera hasn't been chosen. I mean, this is a dude that's played a ton of football in his career. This is a guy that just needs to play.
Maybe Cholo springs a surprise on us Wednesday when Juventus come to town. Maybe that's his grand plan. But as far as this match was concerned, I just didn't see a real plan. There were a bunch of attackers really trying to drive play, and especially João Félix, who was just swarmed for an hour. That was a really weird substitution to pull him as early as he did for Correa, who, again, was ineffective. And
I mean, Correa did basically nothing. Yeah, I mean, João Félix wasn't great, but he at least tried to do things. I mean, you could see the sort of electricity he had when he was on the ball, whereas Correa basically never got the ball, and when he did, he didn't do a whole lot with it.
Yeah, he had 14 touches in 35 minutes.
That's terrible. I mean, and I looked it up after the match. He had the same amount of completed passes in it as Antonio Adan, who came on after him and is a goalkeeper.
Yeah, João Félix, 30 touches, 3 shots, nil on target. Again, he's kind of struggled a bit with this physicality and a bit with being targeted. Getafe really kind of set the tempo in targeting him and kind of removing him from play. Atletico need that kind of spark. There are going to be days, especially with all the new players and with the new things Simeone is trying, there are going to be days where Atletico needs someone with individual brilliance to just step up and do something like that. That was something we used to say about Antoine Griezmann. But with João Félix, a potential generational talent, are we expecting too much out of him too fast?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think we need to sort of realize that he's going to take more time than just 3 matches to get adjusted to this league. I mean, it's quite a lot different than Portugal. We've seen it from the Portuguese players that have come here and done very poorly. I think I'm kind of leaning more on the optimistic side of it's been encouraging how electric he's been in small sample sizes. I mean, he's looked brilliant in just these little opportunities he's had. But I don't know. He'll work his way into the groove. I mean, he's with a good group that'll make him hardened to play. I mean, you think about Koke and Saul when they were first integrated into the first team, then got pushed around a bit. He'll get there. I'm not really concerned about João Félix at the moment.
I see it from both sides. I think we have a really, really good tactical analysis of João Félix's first few weeks from our new writer, Steve Zavala. If you haven't read it yet, go read it. It's very, very well done. And it kind of sums up what's going on with João Félix so far. A lot of good things. Some things that do need improvement, but he is only 19. I see it from both sides. You'd like to see him play 90 minutes every time out and just instantly become a world beater based on his transfer fee. But this is also a kid you've got to protect. This is also a kid who you're going to need in tough games like Juventus on Wednesday. So you have to kind of manage it. But that being said, I think it was really weird to see him come out that early. And yeah, I don't think there's really much correlation between his exit and Atletico going 2 goals down. I think that was probably going to happen anyway. Atletico really weren't playing well. But I don't know. It's something that I think we're going to be talking about in the early days of the season, whether we are expecting too much, how is he really doing, what's the plan with him, and so on.
Yeah, I'm just not that worried about him right now. I mean, I think more concerning is what this team is going to look like in December or in the second half of the season.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of potential changes that could happen here.
This is a defense that has now conceded 4 goals in 2 weeks. We never say that of a Simeone team. Very, very rare that we see that in a defense.
Yeah, it'd
like
be interesting to see. I mean, I almost wonder if, I don't know, I mean, if Juve midweek, you'd think it'd be the same 2 central defenders, but I don't know. I'd be interested to see Felipe get a run out, or even Hermoso. I mean, I know Hermoso's been a bit poor in his debuts as a left back stroke left center back in a back 3, but yeah, I'd be interested to see a little bit of change in there.
Yeah, I guess that's a decent segue into when do these new guys start playing, like en masse? Because we've seen Trippier and Lodi are 2 of the 3 guys who are getting the most minutes for this so-called new Atleti. Llorente's made a few bench appearances, but we've seen Felipe for about 4 minutes. We haven't seen Hector Herrera. Mario Hermoso's made 1 start. When do these... Actually, Hermoso's made 2 starts. My mistake.
Santiarius
has not played yet either. Although he came over last year, he has not played yet either. So, yeah, when do we see some of these new guys come in? I mean, I doubt it'll be against Juventus. I am pretty confident in saying Simeone is going to go back to the new old guard, I guess. But when do we start seeing some of these guys?
Yeah, I'm fairly confident in saying that if there was another left back, or if Hermoso hadn't played so poorly there, that Lodi would have been dropped by now. You know, I mean, he had the red card, and he hasn't been brilliant. I mean, he's had some nice moments. I don't think he's a bad player, but I think Simeone would rather have a more solid option in there.
I think he was great against Eibar, but
right.
got sent off against Getafe, was suspended against Leganes, and was not particularly good, especially defensively, against La Real. I mean, my concern is we have something like what happened last year when a guy like, say, Justin Martins doesn't play until the end of September and ends up leaving in January. Same with Nikola Kalinic, where you sign these players supposed to boost your depth and you don't get them on until, you know, a month plus into the season. And by that time, you run the risk of perhaps some disenchantment. You run the risk of perhaps your main players, your core players that you're going to need as... And Atletico are fighting in four competitions this season. You're going to need your full team. And Simeone has kind of done this before where he's kind of sat on the new guys and waited to play them or chosen spots to play them, and they haven't really impressed, and they go right back to the bench. They go right back down the pecking order. I think Santiago is finding that out right now. Been a really rough go for Santi at Atletico. Was brought in to be Shime Versalico's replacement. Simeone wasn't convinced by him. Now Kieran Trippier is in, and Trippier is the number one fullback. Just a difficult situation for him, but he's the poster boy for this kind of pecking order, as it were.
And I mean, I guess I can see why Simeone doesn't like him, but it's not like he's been poor in his time in the first team, Santiago's. I mean, he was fine last season. I mean, you could even say he had a good first season. I don't understand why he's been sort of given the cold shoulder in this way.
I mean, there are always things we possibly don't know, but
right.
about personnel, about, you know, player coach relationships. There are things that we don't always know. Still, though.
But even still, I mean, he's a good player. We know that he is. He was fine last season, and he probably should have played more than he did.
It is just, I feel it's absolutely critical at this new look at Letty that all these guys have got to play.
Yep.
Because there aren't those veterans you can rely on anymore. Felipe, Juanfran, Godin, they're gone. Those guys are gone. And Simeone obviously knows that, and Simeone was very experimental in a very successful preseason. And I'm not trying to be a bringer of doom here, but a match like this, you kind of see the Atletico, especially last year, where it was just really, from an attacking standpoint, it was really, really poor. You saw something that looked very stale, without ideas, without creativity, despite playing three new signings and having with three more on the bench.
Yeah, not great. No. Not great. It'll be interesting to see how they line up against Juve midweek, because this is kind of the wake-up call. They got a bit fortunate in their last Liga match to come back and win that. It was a crazy match in general, but this should be the one that sort of makes them realize that there needs to be some kind of continuity here, and there needs to be a set sort of system, because he keeps changing it around and it's kind of messing with the flow of some of these guys.
I remember us saying over the summer that this is a team that we shouldn't expect to be world beaters in August and September. This is a team that if it's going to be rolling on all cylinders at all, is going to be rolling on all cylinders in the spring.
Right.
Atletico's first three matches, they were about it as... wouldn't say good as advertised, but they were as good as the results suggested. Looking at expected goals for and expected goals against per understat, Atletico were right about on target, and they're still just 1 point off Sevilla. They've actually been a little unlucky in front of goal, and they're only one expected point behind Sevilla atop the table in very early days. But the international break going into that, Atletico had a 5 point cushion over Barcelona. Four over Real Madrid. That's now down to a gap of 2 points and 1 point, respectively. So basically, you've lost that cushion in the span of one match day. And it's good to get this trip to San Sebastian out of the way early, because Atletico very rarely do not play well in it, and did not play well again on Saturday. But it just kind of underscores the importance of you have got to be consistent and regular in La Liga. That's the thing. You have got to be picking up points every week and winning almost every one of those weeks. Most years it takes 90, 95 points to win La Liga.
Basically to win the title, you can't drop points on a regular basis.
Messi hasn't started playing for Barcelona yet. He should be back in the next week. Real Madrid just got Eden Hazard back. He will be very good. Assuming he stays healthy, he will be very, very good. And Atleti are still betting in a bunch of new players. Have more over the first 4 weeks, I'd say they played pretty well. Saturday was not a very good day, but overall it's hard to be really disappointed in the first 4 weeks of this season. That being said,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that being said, this just underlines how crucial it is to be consistent, because to compete with those two teams for 38 weeks, it is just hard to do. And that is why I continue to insist, when Atletico won the league title in 2014, that was Simeone's greatest achievement, to this point at least, because that was a year with prime Messi and prime Cristiano Ronaldo, and Atletico still won the league with 90 points.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. No doubt about it. I mean, you can make the argument that, I mean, you can add all these qualifiers to that season that Tata Martino, much as I love him, wasn't very good as a top-level manager.
Atlanta United legend.
Atlanta United legend. Build a statue.
Yeah.
Come on, baby. But, and you know, Carlo Ancelotti's teams are mainly cup teams in general. But even still, that was his greatest achievement. And that was kind of a freak year in a lot of respects. But it's going to take something like that. And Atleti had a nice cushion to start this season, but now to kind of piss it away a little bit is disappointing. But even so, with the amount of new players that are in the squad, it's hard to be disappointed.
Yeah.
By the start that they've had.
Exactly. I mean, 3 wins from 4 is pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good all told. But
better than I expected, really.
It just underlines this importance, you know, of being good and staying good. And winning away from home. Atletico have been kind of not so good away from home the last few seasons, dropping points in contests away from home that ordinarily you would expect them to win. Last season, they won only 7 times away from home and with a +4 goal difference. That was third in La Liga, 28 away points, but well behind Barcelona, who paced everyone with 39 points away from home. Just got to be better away from home, especially going a goal down. The last time Atletico rallied from a goal down away from home in La Liga was 2016. Three and a half years.
I guess the other concern from this match is, of course, Oblak, who I think is unfair to have charged him with an error for that goal. I know some of the websites said he made a mistake. I don't think so.
No, Oblak made the initial save from the header. That's, if anyone's error, that's Saul's error for losing Nacho Monreal in the buildup.
Right.
Yeah, and, that's anyone's error.
Monreal basically just booted it into his face. I mean, yeah. It's not really an error.
Yeah, so speaking of that, Oblak had to leave after being, he was treated for a few minutes. He was down on the ground. It looked a lot worse than it turned out to be. Atletico announced via the official club channels that he did not lose consciousness, that he stayed alert. It was just a precaution, and front cover of AS said he will start against Juventus on Wednesday. So, big sigh of relief. That could have been, if he had sustained a concussion, that would have been really bad.
Yeah, and it sort of seemed that way. And he didn't want to come off. I understand that completely, but it was better safe than sorry in that situation.
I mean, you're already behind 2-0.
Yeah, and they weren't really coming back from that anyway, and it ended fine. So that was just an unfortunate situation all the way around. The ball was there to be won. I don't think Monreal did anything wrong.
So Oblak will be in goal Wednesday. Let's talk about Wednesday when Atletico host Juventus at the Wanda Metropolitano. Atletico will go up against their dear old friend Cristiano Ronaldo. Juventus, though, not off to the best of starts in Serie A this season, Rob. They playing out a goalless draw against Fiorentina on Saturday, in which they really did not look very good. Fiorentina had the better chances, really could have and perhaps should have won the match.
Yeah, they haven't been very good to start this season. I mean, it's been disjointed. They've obviously had the injury to Chiellini that's a big blow for them.
A huge blow, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, they have Matthijs de Ligt to come in there. So that's not too bad of a replacement. But basically, the characterization of their season has been that they've just had some kind of bizarre lineups under Sarri. Weird guys have been playing. I mean, a midfield of Pjanic and Khedira is just a bit weird.
And Pjanic got injured on Saturday. He likely will not be playing in Madrid.
Right. So then that leaves you with maybe Aaron Ramsey, maybe Adrian Rabiot, maybe Emre Can. I mean, there's a lot of potential things that could go on there.
Yeah, Emre Can pretty pissed off at Juventus. He was left out of the squad list for the Champions
League. Oh, that's right. Yeah. So he won't be available.
Yes, so was Mario Mandzukic. And the reporting this week was that Juventus are trying to negotiate Mandzukic's sale to a club in Qatar.
Which is kind of a shame because he's been really decent for them.
Mario Mandzukic is still a really good striker. I'd take him back at Atletico in a heartbeat.
Of course, Diego Simeone would not do
Diego
that.
Diego Simeone would not. No, he and Mansu were not very close at the end of his sole season in the capital. Yeah, no. Douglas Costa, Miralem Pjanic, and Danilo all left the match against Fiorentina injured. Douglas Costa's injury is regarded as the most serious of the three. Yeah, and there have been some weird things going on at UA under Maurizio Sarri, particularly the reintegration of Gonzalo Higuain into Juve's plans. Juve have spent 2 years desperately trying to get rid of Higuain, and all of a sudden, here he is. Maurizio Sarri is using him because he's his favorite striker.
Sarri loves him.
Yeah, since his days at Napoli. Juve have had an kind of unimpressive 1-0 win at Parma to start the year, then that really crazy 4-3 win against Napoli that should have been a 3-3 draw, and then this match against Fiorentina. So they are not off to the best of starts. They are still finding their way under Sarri, a lot like Chelsea were last year. So would you say this is a good time to be catching them?
I mean, in some ways, yes, but also no, because it's Ronaldo.
Yep.
So we know pretty what's much. Probably going to happen there.
I pretty much agree with that. Although, you know, he's not going to be facing an out-of-position Juan Fran this year, so maybe Atletico will have a little better success.
I mean, it's also going to make me vomit a little bit to see Buffon wearing this number 77 shirt. That's horrendous.
That is terrible, yeah.
That's terrible.
He should have gone back to Parma. I've been saying, he should have gone back to Parma to finish out his career.
He's just ring chasing. At this point, he wants the Champions League so bad, but he ain't gonna get it this year, I don't think. I don't think Sarri's great as a manager. I mean, I think he's all right, but it has not been great these early returns. And Fiorentina are not a brilliant team. I mean, you look at the players that they went up against Juventus, and it's like you got ancient Frank Ribery making you look bad.
Yeah. Very interesting stuff. I would expect Atletico may make a couple changes, but I don't expect really anything radical. Like, you know, Simeone's going to drop Felipe into the back four. He's going to play with a back three, like he did against Leganés. I don't think there's going to be anything like that. But it is going to be interesting because on previous Champions League nights, we would just kind of expect Cholo to, okay, he's going to go back to the older guys. He's going to go back to the veterans. There's a certain air of unpredictability about this. So we'll see what he trots out there. And it's going to be a fascinating encounter. Simeone versus Sarri, we saw that in the preseason, but we've never seen it in like a really competitive fixture before. It's an interesting clash of styles. Whereas Simeone versus Allegri last season were two very similar, you know, heads butting. This is two very different styles going head to head this time.
Yep, absolutely. And I mean, he can't go back to the old guys. So, I would happily take a draw.
I'll do my scoreline prediction during the week. So you're predicting draw?
I would take a draw all day long.
Where do you think Atleti finish in the group before we get this whole thing kicked off on Wednesday?
You know, that's a good question. I think they'll probably finish in second, all things considered. I mean, first, I think is totally within reach.
Yeah, it depends on which Atleti we see, basically. How quickly the adaptation continues. If it remains on course, it remains on schedule. I'll conservatively say second. But there's still a very enigmatic quality about this new Atletico side, where they could go on a tear and top the group, or they could be in a battle for third until the final match day. There's still a lot
we've
don't
seen
know
Bayer Leverkusen look frisky in the Champions League before.
Yeah.
On several occasions. So I think second is probably the realistic choice there. But yeah, first is certainly within reach.
And the draw was kind of disheartening for me, not because it's a tough group. It is a tough group. But these are all teams that Atleti have seen before. Give me someone new.
I mean, Atleti have played all of these teams within the last 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen Leverkusen twice since 2015. We've seen Juventus the last two seasons and this preseason. Lokomotiv, Atleti just steamrolled on their way to the Europa League two seasons ago.
Hey, play Angel Correa in that match. He looked like Jesus in that match against Lokomotiv in the Europa League.
I remember that one, yeah. Torres did, too.
He was brilliant.
That was an 8-1 on aggregate. And Saul scored in the first leg. He scored that goal basically from the halfway line.
Yeah, we killed them.
Yeah.
So
perhaps
I'm looking forward to those
perhaps
matches.
That will happen again. Perhaps it will. I think that's about all we got, Rob. Thank you so much for joining me on this edition of Colchonero Chat.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
You can follow Rob on Twitter at rwalk03. You can follow me, Jeremy Barron, on Twitter at jbbarron. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. You can also like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/Into the Calderon. Subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of this program on your favorite podcasting platform. Please rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts. And head over to our Patreon page, patreon.com/Colchonero Chat. I will be doing an instant analysis bonus pod after Juve Atleti on Wednesday. Talk to you then. Adios.